The March Tenwald had several interesting items and, of course, was interrupted by a royal visit. Not to the Tenwald Chamber, I hasten to add, but it did seem to surprise the Tenwald members that many of them were going to be absent. And a rather hastily organised, well, not even organised gives it too much credit, a hastily put motion, basically put on hold Tenwald for a couple of hours while the Tenwald members attended the various aspects of the royal visit. But the first item was our island plan, 2024-25, an update. And the Chief Minister moved that Tenwald approves the Isle of Man Government Our Island Plan 2024-25 update, building a secure, vibrant and sustainable future for our island. However, whilst Tenwald gave this update its approval and many of the aspects of the update were supported, by all the members, with the exception though of six MHKs, Mr. Glover, Mr. Moorhouse, Mrs. Christian, Ms. Edge, Mr. Speaker and Mr. Thomas. And this mini-rebellion was then repeated when we got to the tax strategy. The tax strategy, it's fair to say, whilst the Treasury Minister gave it his best shot at talking up the tax strategy, members in the Keys anyway, were not entirely convinced by what the Treasury Minister had to say. Indeed, David Ashford was so excited by the whole topic that he decided to put forward an amendment which would have seen the tax strategy rejected, and a better attempt was asked for, and this would be to report back to a future Tenwald. And that amendment was only defeated by one vote in the House of Keys. So it was 10-11 the vote in Keys. That would have been quite a bloody nose given to government had one vote moved in one direction, just to get that over the line. So quite a surprise that it got as many people, MHKs, voting for it. And I'm sure government will have a good long think about this and try and find ways in which the members can be brought on board. During the Our Island Plan debate, the Chief Minister referred to a new strategic alliance being created, and the strategic alliance, which appears to have at this stage be made up of Ms. Christian, Ms. Edge and Mr. Thomas, certainly were quite forceful in speaking out on both of those two items. The Electoral Commission report was moved next, and it is fair to say that I have witnessed some fairly uncertain debates in my time. Indeed, I probably took part in one or two. This really did beat them all for the, well, certainly my uncertainty. I mean, maybe it was clear to the Keys and LegCo members, but it wasn't at all clear to me what eventually ended up happening with this particular debate. There were a full 13 recommendations put forward by the Electoral Commission. The relatively modest ones, even those were amended out by the or some of those were amended out by an amendment by the Cabinet Office. There were other amendments flying around. In fact, there were so many amendments it really was difficult to keep a track on what really was going on. However, the key element was that the members of the House of Keys in particular were not happy with the recommendations that had been brought forward by the Commission in relation particularly to the Keys constituencies, the size of these constituencies. Now, back in, I think it was 2012 or maybe 2013, Tynwald set itself a policy that constituency sizes should meet the international standard, which is effectively the population in each constituency should be equal, with a maximum permitted departure from the average in any constituency at 15%. This seems to be a standard that is met by many jurisdictions. Certainly it's a Commonwealth Parliamentary Association policy. It's also, a European policy. However, Tynwald really didn't like it, particularly the Keys members, and I think the Keys members sort of led the charge. There is a fair to middling argument that would suggest that maybe the Keys, if they have set up an independent electoral commission to report, perhaps they should have followed more closely what that commission had to say, and not choose to throw out the first three recommendations, which would have reaffirmed the 15% and brought forward legislation to enshrine the 15%. The average constituency size variance of 15%. And would also have made changes to Eyre and Michael and Ramsay, and that was basically thrown out. And some Keys members seemed to think maybe the commission would revisit those recommendations, although it wasn't entirely clear to me at the end of the debate or at the end of the voting what really was going to happen. Certainly, had I been a member of the commission, I might well have thought, following the debate, good riddance then, and not wanting to go anywhere near the item again. So then we moved on to the Standing Orders Committee of Tynwald, and this was so that an item which allowed a little bit, I think it allowed a bit of flexibility, but maybe others read it differently, for media covering the proceedings of Tynwald Court. Then we moved on to the Select Committee on Built Heritage, and the Select Committee on Built Heritage maybe was trying its arm a bit with 19 recommendations. It seems like rather a lot of recommendations to make. However, this was the view of the Select Committee, that these recommendations needed to be made. It was also moved that Marlene Masker, who was formerly an MLC and has been a member of this committee, that she should appear at the bar of Tynwald, which she did, and she gave reasonably forceful arguments in favour of the committee's report. However, it became pretty clear from questioning that certainly a number of ministers were far from happy at what was, or perhaps what wasn't, in the report. The report seemed to reach conclusions without fully providing the information as to why those conclusions needed to be reached. Certainly that was the view of some of the members. Anyway, the result was, after a lengthy debate, the 19 recommendations were replaced by an amendment from the Cabinet Office, which, and maybe this is an unfair assessment, but it more or less stated that council ministers would continue, or would redouble efforts to do what it could to try and help in these areas. But the majority of the recommendations effectively were kicked into touch by that amendment. There were other items on the order paper, but I think that probably covers the key issues in Tynwald. A few replacements, obviously Mrs. Kane becoming a minister, so the vice chair of the Public Accounts Committee was changed. Also, I think Chris Thomas was voted in as vice chair of the, what are they called? The I can't think of the name. Tim Glover's the chair. It'll come to me. The Weights and Measures Department, Office of Fair Trading, there we are. Anyway, yeah, an interesting tinwald. Quite surprised, I have to say, that Tinwald didn't seem to have thought on about their attendance at the royal visit. It seemed to come as quite a surprise to them all that various members were going to be missing, and therefore a hurried break was arranged for them all to go off and have their photos taken and whatever else they wished to do. So that's it. That's March Tinwald.